one point, or you were involved in that area of Kashrut. So therefore, it's a pleasure that we have Rabbi Eisen here to teach us the practical aspects and the implications of the recent bug infestation. So the people who didn't come, convey the information to them, because I'm sure it's important for most people. Rabbi Eisen, a pleasure.
The Rosh Hashiva was overly kind in his introduction, but I really must say that I came here this evening simply out of, quite honestly, his spylus, just being completely taken aback of the tremendous sense of wanting to know real issues rather than just reacting out of the knee-jerk reaction of, oh, just another, as Rabbi Bloomberg introduced the subject, oh, another thing yet to answer. And the very fact that he could even sponsor a shiur in the West Side, which would bring some type of interest to the people here, is something which I think is a tremendous schut for me to be part of this, and a bearing witness of the quality of people living here in the West Side. And I think it's a real melech yosher for the entire community. The truth is that the reaction of what Rabbi Bloomberg was referring to, of saying that yet another thing, quite honestly, was my initial reaction when I heard about this as well. And what I feel would be most beneficial and educational to everybody is to understand the whole picture on how it evolved and how the Shaila came about now more than before. Were there insects before in strawberries? Have we been eating insects and strawberries? Why didn't the entire conscious world become cognizant of this? Manishtana Hashon Hazu Mikol Hashonim. I'd like to address, very bekitzer, all these points. The way that it evolved was the following, that there are people today in the field that are perhaps much more focused and younger and beginning their career at a sort of like a real energetic time of life stage, where they're interested in not only doing their job well, but doing their job with the full sense of focus and responsibility. And there's one such individual living in Muncie who works in Wesley Kosher, I think, or Rockland Kosher, one or the other, and it might be the same. I don't live in Muncie. And he was packaging a tremendous amount of strawberries over the year. And as he was doing the regular perfunctory washing of strawberries, which the kashrus world always did this, that they took the strawberry, they cut off the green, they soaked it in some type of a solution, a vegetable wash or another similar soapy solution, to remove whatever foreign matter was on the surface of the strawberry. They agitated to loosen whatever was on top of the strawberry. And as you notice, even when you wash a strawberry well, you get a lot of stuff on the bottom of the water. You see that. So anyway, just to get to yield a clean strawberry, they were doing this process anyway. And what would happen is that after a good rinse, we would assume that you don't need anything further. You could just take the strawberry, dry it, and eat it. And he was doing this regular accepted practice of strawberries which is accepted throughout the entire kashrus world. And then he kept on noticing that he kept on finding a certain type of insect, which he wasn't even sure what it was. And he did more testing, and he kept on finding this insect again and again. As it turned out, this particular insect was a baby thrips, which I brought somebody here that really captured the, Avrami, he's downstairs, that he's working on getting it off his laptop so everybody could see exactly what I'm talking about. And what he was actually discovering is that this particular insect just did not go away, because there are several insects in strawberries that are there and everybody knows about them. And let me just show you in a picture form what they look like, and you could pass it around so we'll know what I'm talking about. There are basically three or four types of insects that reside in a strawberry. There is a insect which is a type of insect that has wings, which you'll be able to see. It's on page 197 and 219 when you look at the book. Then there's the very common insect, which is called the spider mite, which is a small red mite, which the reason why it's so difficult to spot is because it's red. So it blends in with the strawberry. And then there is a thrips, which also could be black, it could be light gray, which also is present in the strawberry. The difference between the different type of insects that are found in the strawberry is the thrips, which is very prevalent there, is so fragile that with the slightest amount of water that it comes in contact with, it just is gone. It's just off the strawberry. While the spider mite is able to stick itself into the strawberry, into the area, and stay there. What the problem was with this discovery of this insect was the small little baby version of what we call a thrips, which I'll show you what it is, in its very small larva stage, it's more like a worm. It's more like a worm material, which this worm, what happens is, he discovered that after washing the strawberry and washing the strawberry, he kept on finding this little insect, which is this one, which I'm going to pass it around, which is on the bottom of page 197. So this is where the Shaila began, where all the other insects would come off when he was washing the strawberries, and the only one that he kept on finding after he rinsed it, and then he would check it again, which we're going to talk about what he did, just for you to understand how this came about, to really discover that it was a real problem and not just be skeptical about it. He kept on washing it again and again, and then he discovered it, and then at that point of time he called the Rabbanim and Muncy together, and it's interesting how things really evolved. It started in Muncy. He brought together all the Ashkochas in Muncy. Now, I would think that in Muncy, when they came out with this type of a sort of communal problem, nobody poo-pooed it. Everybody took it very seriously. All the Rabbanim Achshirim of Muncy came together, and they all had a demonstration by this guy that they would take the strawberry, and what he did is that he washed it, and then he took the water and he strained the water, and I'll just give you a very simple way, the way he did it, just to show you, just to get you and give you an idea. He took the water, he soaked it, then after he removed the strawberries, then he just took something very similar to a sheet of Bounty paper towel, he put it into a colander, and it served as a very tight meshed filter, and he poured the water that he soaked the strawberries in, and he poured it through the colander, so everything got stuck on the white sheet. He took this white sheet, he put it on top of a light box, and he examined the light box. And he did it once, and he did it twice, and each time that he did the same exact process, he would come up with this small white worm, which hopefully we'll see very soon as when we figure out how to get it off the laptop. Bezat Hashem. So this started in Muncy. And what happened was the Hisachdus HaRabbanim in Williamsburg got wind of this. And then they also asked some people to bring strawberries into this Achdus. It's interesting, you know, just to understand, like, you think Al Shloisha Dvarim Olam Oymed, and I think there was a Girsa of a fourth thing also. All the Dayanim that passed in the Shailos, Avram Yeshua Heschel Bick was there. And all the Rabbanim of the Hesach Rabbanim of Williamsburg got together, and there was a yeshiva of 2 or 3 hours with all the Hasidish Rabbonim in Williamsburg, and there were several Mashkichim that demonstrated the same exact thing, and they kept on coming up with this small white thrips, which is in the shape of a worm. And at that time, this Achdus Rabbonim also came out with an Isser. At first, they didn't think it was a problem with the frozen strawberries, and that's what kept on getting mixed messages with frozen strawberries and fresh strawberries, until they were able to figure out something interesting. People showed them that online you were able to take off articles, that and there are several areas in California that they produce strawberries. One of the main areas is a place called Ashland, California, and in Ashland there was a headline that said 95% of strawberries fields decimated by thrips. As soon as that information became available, so all of a sudden, like the piece of the puzzle started to fill in, that this is just not something which we're discovering now, which was always there. This is something which was corroborated clearly by the Metzius in California. In California, the farmers lost a tremendous amount of profit because of the thrips decimating the fields. Now, if full thrips were decimating the fields, that means full thrips have to first begin as baby thrips and as larvae, and that was the problem. Now, the only question was, is that why did he only discover it and not everybody else discovered it? So this is really the point that I think is something which we might even see this evening, Bezus Hashem. That these small little worms, what they do is that they migrate from the top of the strawberry where they seek beautiful coverage of the green, and they migrate down towards the bottom of the strawberry. What happens is that they're so small that they're able to curl inside the small crater that's under the seed. They stay there, and they're resilient to even the regular standard rinse on the strawberry. Rabbi Shalom, were you able to get it there? Would you mind just demonstrating? I think that the picture paints a thousand words. You'll see it's a 10-second clipping, but it's a 10-second clipping that shows you exactly what the problem was. And I think it gives us a sense of appreciation, because I'm going to explain to you what my reaction when I saw this clipping, what it was. Oh, you'll see them. They're absolutely Nicolaitan. They're so Nicolaitan that you don't even need a loop. You'll be able to see it. You'll be able to see exactly what it is. This is an exact video. He's, Rabbi Shalom, literally, because he wanted to be mevar the dvarim al pi amitosam, he stood there, he stood for hours to watch these strips having migrated, and he finally stopped one. I'm going to go through everything. I just want you to see exactly what I mean, so you can understand what all of a sudden happened, and the whole picture will be together. Yes.
Keep the aisle clear, please.
Okay, it's literally, it's started over again.
We're going to show them around. I just want to show you what we're talking about. We're going to bring them to the back. One more. Okay. Do you see that? Moving. It's moving now, and it's going to find a place inside a crater, and it's going to wrap itself around in the crater, and you will not see it. It's going into the crater. You see it moving? You see it moving? It's going to find the crater that's comfortable, and it's going to go right in there and stay put.
Put your hands down.
And it's right over there. It's not going to move. Now you don't see it.
They don't want that to use to wash it.
Now, this one, I'm going to answer the question. I just want you want to try. You want to play it once more, please.
Is that a crater or a little hill?
It's no. It's what it is. It's the seed. It's the crater that the seed is in.
This picture is 1,000 words. Robert Bloomberg, did you see that? Till they play. Till they play.
Pretty quickly.
Till they play.
Last few weeks.
But I'm going to explain the whole thing to be able to. I'll explain to you why. I'm going to explain the whole subject and how they do come out eventually when we discover them. But I just wanted to give you a sense of all of a sudden, you know, people are skeptical. A new chumrah, a new discovery to make our lives difficult. I mean, this is something which I was very happy for them to be able to capture the actual thrip and how it migrates on the strawberry and stays put. Now you see, if you look carefully at that seed and the small little crater that's under the seed that's in every strawberry, that crater that sometimes could vary in the depth of the crater. It seems that these thrips have a sense to find a crater that's deep enough for it to sort of slip its entire body under the seed, and it stays there, and it uses the crater in the seed no different than when a waterfall is going on a person, he's in a beach, where does he seek cover? You find yourself a nice, you know, a nice boulder that's jutting out, and you just hop under the boulder, and then the water can cascade down, and you're protected. That's exactly what it happens with these insects, that sometimes on some of them, on some strawberries, which maybe we'll see, you could find as many as 20 and 30 of these things on some of them. Now, where did I discover 20 and 30? There's a fellow in Flatbush, that a Rav, that is very involved. He's a big Baal Yedia of many different subjects. So he called me up to discuss the matter, and I told him what they are, what they look like, and he has a son that learns also in Lakewood, and his son was a creative type of a fellow, and he's tumbling with this also, and he says, Tati, go ahead and take it, pick up a strawberry, you'll see it. He picks up a strawberry, calls me last week, he picks up a strawberry, looks at the strawberry, looks at this, he picks up another strawberry, a fourth strawberry, a fifth strawberry, nothing. So he calls and says, Maishi, he said, what are you telling me? He says, I bought a pint of strawberries and I see nothing. He says, take one of the girls' blow dryer, Tati. And you know that these insects cannot tolerate any heat. That's why if they are brought out in a warm area, that's when they start running out, because heat disturbs them tremendously. He said he took a blow dryer. I would assume he didn't put it on the hottest degree. He took it, and he said he started to put the warm air on the strawberries. He saw them coming out in minyanim. They just came out. He said he couldn't believe it. a good minion. He saw. He couldn't believe it. It happens. I took my daughter's blow dryer, which she warned me that I dare not forget it. So I have it here. So maybe we'll be able to play with it at the end of the shiur also. But I just want to explain that this was the issue. The issue was that the regular washing and soaking, and even sometimes there was a gentleman that asked about brushing, that if you didn't literally sit and brush every single part of the strawberry, they stayed there. Now, what happened was is that being that this couldn't have happened in a more strawberry season, this is the height of the season, so there were many hashkachas that got together on several occasions, on two occasions, because my feeling was that if you don't bring a broad base of hashkachas together, one hashkach will say, well, they found the system, and the other will say, what do you mean? Your system is no good. So I figured, which was, I think, a good cheshbon, that I'm going to bring three or four hashkachas together, and we're all going to hang out and spend some time together in figuring out a solution. And we did that. And the purpose of that meeting was to figure out how to quantify and how to really methodically set up a system to clean it, because ultimately, not only do you have to give this instruction to the hashkachas that you're responsible for, there are people out there. Not everybody only has strawberries when you go to a restaurant or a bar mitzvah, or you go to a Shabbos kiddush. You have it in your own home. And ultimately, if you can't give people clear cut, step-by-step instructions, you failed. You've fallen short of the mark. So that the tachlus is to get, if we're going to tell people, put in some vegetable washer, put in some soap. How much soap? How much water? Soak it. How long should you soak it for? Agitate it. How should you agitate it? Rinse it. How should you rinse it? Should you just put it under a thing and rinse it? You know, people are used, I told somebody yesterday, I was speaking to a Five O'Cone yesterday, and I mentioned to him that a small 2-3 paragraph introduction, I sent out an email to the Rabbanim of the Five Towns, it took me about 2.5-3 hours to write it. Because every single time I wrote it, I said, it's not clear enough. It's not, a word is missing. The usage, I'm not being consistent. You know, to write something that has to be, you know, sort of digested by your tzibur, you have to be clear, you have to be very clear. So the purpose of the second meeting, which 7 hashkachas got together during the second meeting, and we spent 3.5 hours together, we figured out how to clean the strawberries. And this is the secret. The secret really is, it's this two components into getting out these insects. The first thing is that there has to be some type of an agent that loosens whatever's on the surface. That is a vegetable wash. That could be done with a concentrated type of a liquid soap. You put enough in the water, you let it soak for a short period of time, for 5 minutes, and then the most important part is rinsing it underwater. The heavy stream that comes directly in contact with the strawberry is what will dislodge everything from the strawberry. Now, but the only point is that how do you rinse it? When the rinsing was done, and this we suspected, as a matter of fact, one of the mashkichim that performed the testing in Williamsburg, I felt that he was the most important person to be at this meeting. Because if he was the one that proved to the Rabbanim Williamsburg that this is no good, he has to be there to see that our system, in other words, we did our system, and we said, now you check it. And what we were doing is that I brought in a guy that happened to be, in my opinion, the biggest mumcha in this, and he just figured out he was rinsing it while the other guys were rinsing it for 4 seconds. We timed it under the sink. If you rinsed it for another few seconds under the sink and rinsed it in a way where you rotated the strawberry in a way where the water directly cascaded on top of each part of the strawberry, you started the water with the top of the strawberry, you rotated from top to bottom to the sides. After he finished, there was practically nothing on the strawberry. The reason why I'm using the word practically is because we washed 130 strawberries and we found one insect. And another testing that he did with also this very focused rinsing, he washed 300 strawberries. Can you imagine a person washing 300 strawberries? And he found one insect. So that led us to believe something very, very clearly, that it was the rinsing that was the primary way to clean these strawberries.
So what about the agitation in
the agitation, what that does is that allows it perhaps to be loosened, but it doesn't necessarily remove it, because these things have a grip. As I showed you in that, in this clipping that
you
saw.
You didn't mention that. It's not required
what?
To agitate it in the soil.
No. So I'm going to go through a step of what we're going to do. But I'm talking about the two primary. The two primary was something to loosen the grip of whatever's in there, and the rinsing. What really resulted from this is the following. That, I'm just finishing, then I'm going to take questions. I'll be finished in 3 or 4 minutes. What really resulted from this is that the following steps were put together. Number one is you have to remove the green on top, because if you don't remove the green on top and you don't cut it flat off, what happens is that if you pick up a strawberry, on top of every strawberry there's an indentation on top. There's like a little valley in top of the strawberry. That's something which these little insects could just hop in there and be very comfortable, and they could hide, because sometimes there are seeds that are on top of those areas as well. So the first thing is to get it cut straight, so flat, so it's not going to have any place to really attach itself. To cut it flat and yet not make a hole, which is pretty simple and straightforward. Then you take it and you soak it in a solution with a teaspoon of vegetable wash or other liquid soap to a half a gallon of water, which is mostly will accommodate any amount, 1 pint of strawberries, 2 pints of strawberries, and that's all you need. You let it sit and soak in this for 5 minutes, and then you agitate the berries inside the water to swish them around, to loosen anything that's on top. That's the fourth step. The fifth step is you remove the strawberries, and you let them, while you're holding each berry in your hand, you just allow the water to, as you're rotating the strawberry, to cascade on every part of that strawberry. Afterwards, after you finish with that, you could use the strawberries, you could eat them, but you just have to be focused. If you don't have time, if you don't have a good water pressure in your faucet, it doesn't work. Because the most important thing is in dislodging these specific worm, the specific thrips that was the real problem, is to get it with a direct hit. Now, there's one other point. Sometimes if you have a strawberry, this is many times in the less premium strawberries, that you will notice in the strawberry there's like a crater. There's like, sometimes you notice like, it's like a boulder. Imagine two boulders coming together. It's like there's an indentation and a crevice in the strawberry. Most strawberries are just, you have the surface of the strawberry and it's pretty smooth around the entire surface of the strawberry. But sometimes you have a strawberry that has a crevice or an indentation. If you have an indentation and a crevice, we found specifically that that's a perfect area that those little thrips just squeeze their way in and go right in between. So you have a choice. You can either take a spray and actually shoot it right in between there, or what you could do, if you really want to be sure, just take a knife and do a little surgery and just take it off and just flatten it out and just wash the rest of the strawberry. But really, that is the way that we were washing strawberries. The way that we checked this was exactly what I pointed out to you. We soaked it after we finished rinsing it, soaked it in clear water, and agitated in the clear water, and afterwards we removed the strawberries from that water, which was the final rinse, and that was just not that you have to do that. That was just for us. So there was a different hashgachas to figure out that this is a clean strawberry, because if those strawberries would still have insects, after more agitation, something else would come out, because what was happening is that every single time that they would wash it once and twice and three times and four times, and there would be constantly more insects coming out. After we rinsed it once and rinsed it a second time and went ahead and really strained it through this type of filter, which is really a Bounty paper towel, which was perfect for this. Nothing was there. So this was the whole, this was the Torah, and now whether the other, most of the Ashkochas, I believe, are on the same page with this. I would say Roy to them. The Hasidish Ashkochas, I don't think I'm going to change their mind about this, for whatever reason that they have. With frozen strawberries, what happens also, what they discovered is that being that the most recent runs of the strawberries, meaning the last 2-3 weeks a month when this problem came up, so they were much more careful in the manufacturing facilities to run the strawberries with higher turbulence in the flume. Normally, all these Fairmonts and all these large strawberry manufacturers, that what they do is that they take the fresh strawberries, they put chlorination in the water, and they run them through a flume with turbulence. Turbulence in the water of a flume could be controlled. So what they did do, I would assume, is that they increased the turbulence, and then they checked a lot of strawberries, and that's why you saw in the Hamodi and the Ated that a lot of the Hashgachas said that they checked many strawberries, their frozen strawberries, Fairmont, and others, and said that they were fine and they're ready to be used. So this is really the background of the Shiloh. This is why the Shiloh was mischadish today more than last year. We hope that the next strawberry season, Habo Leinu L'Toiva, will not be as much as a challenge, because this is, seems to be an unusual degree of infestation, as the articles themselves indicate, you know, online. So before we go further, before we actually look at strawberries, we could take some questions now if somebody has. Yes. No, I just merely cited that because that's what I found in an article online. But the strawberries that were being tested, we made sure that when, from these 130 strawberries, the average pint of strawberries, not the long stem strawberries come in 12 in a package. The regular average pint comes between 18 and 20. So that means that you talk about a pound of strawberries is about 18 to 20 strawberries. So 130 was about 6.5 pounds. We took strawberries from different manufacturers, Driscoll and other companies. We made sure that the testing, the people that were there at the testing, we try to do it, I can't tell, we're not scientists and we're not food technologists, but we try to do it with a bissel seichel and remembering the high school years of experiments and figuring that we had to do something which really covered the gamut. So we took all sorts of different types of strawberries. We went to buy strawberries in a supermarket. We bought strawberries in a fruit store. We bought strawberries in a better fruit store to be able to get a sort of a very wide range and then test all of them and see what we found. And that result was exactly what I said. Yes? There's a Rav and a Rosh Yeshiva, and they could answer that question.
Is this going to continue be done commercially, the cleaning with the ashkochas?
No, there are two issues over here. There's the fresh strawberries. The fresh strawberries, the mashkichim in the agencies, I completed today a final draft and sending out to the mashkichim what they have to do for the rest of the season. It's exactly what I described, what they have to do. You know, they just have to, going to have to spend more time. So ultimately what happens is that the caterer, normally when a caterer, the easiest thing that he could throw in a fruit platter and people like it is tons of strawberries. Now the strawberries are going to cost them money because it's going to cost them more time for mashgichim to check. So I would presume that in the hashgachas that sort of signed under, which is most probably close to a half a dozen hashgachas did this, I would think that they're going to be sending out these memos to their mashkichim and they're going to be less strawberries served, but they're going to serve strawberries. But they're going to follow these instructions.
Why are frozen strawberries?
Now, the reason why it's frozen is because the turbulence of the water is sort of like tantamount to the same very direct rinsing. I think that's why after they finished with the commercial wash, they found strawberries clean. Because what happened was that the person that was testing, the main person that was doing the testing with all the other hashgachas, he also works for one of the companies that do frozen strawberries. And when he's the guy that checked 430 strawberries. And he went down to California like 2 weeks before, and he couldn't figure something out. He said why he came back with somebody else from this commercial facility, and they ran hundreds and hundreds of strawberries, and after there was a problem, he kept on checking more and more than usual, and he found them to be clean. And over here with the fresh strawberries, he just found problems. He couldn't figure out why until he was miyashiv his kasha, because the facility washed strawberries, the turbulence in the water was a very rough turbulence. So what happened was that the turning of the strawberry and the turbulence and the jets of water that were coming in dislodged these insects. Now the water is never used again. The water gets washed and dumped. So it doesn't, what happens is that in these strawberry facilities, the water doesn't get, in many other produce facilities, the water gets recycled. Oh, in the strawberry facilities, the water wasn't getting recycled, it was rather getting washed and dumped. So therefore, the water didn't bring back whatever was dislodged with the water and the turbulence, didn't come back onto the strawberries. So that really was what's happening. That's why in the facilities, that's why they're continuing to give hashgacha.
So can you eat frozen strawberries?
The ones that have hashgacha, you know, there's a fair amount, I think, have the square hashgacha, the bodek, also, I mean, those that have hashgacha could be eaten, and those are accessible. I mean, those are sold in supermarkets. Yes?
I wanted to ask you about, is there a cheska of kashrut on jelly or preserves? Godiva and the onion, and they dip strawberry in chocolate, for instance?
So, I'd like to break up your question into two parts. It's an extremely good question about what about the other items that are made with strawberries? So there's a very interesting Rajba. And the Rajba says the following, that if you have something which is if you have something which is plagued with toloyim, and it's avar ubishal. Now, mind you, many of these strawberries, they're washed before, so to say that they're muchzik b'tiloyim after the washing, muchzik b'tiloyim means that the majority of this product that you're using have insects. After this is washed, I think everybody agrees that it's no longer muchzik b'tiloyim. It's no longer the majority. It might have left, but it's not muchzik. The Rajba states the following, and the Mechaber quotes this Rashba in Simen Pei Dalet in Yoredeya. He says, what happens if you have something which has toloyim, and you know what you didn't realize? You went ahead and you cooked it. You made strawberry jam with it. And now you have strawberry jam and you have hashgach on the strawberry jam. Could you take the jam and smear it on a cracker? The Rajba says, yes, it's mutter to do that. Why? Because there's a svek faker. What's a svek faker that the Rajba has? Suffolk number one, there could be toloyim in these strawberries, and it could be possible there was no toloyim in the strawberries. The im tim toloymer. And if you're going to say there were insects in the strawberries, perhaps with the cooking specifically to exclude baking, cooking because of the water, because when something cooks and there's water and liquid, the cooking process takes things and breaks them down, so therefore it wouldn't be a barrier and it would be bottle, and therefore the Rashba says, the mokim b'dievet it's mutter. Now, things that you have in your house, and right now anything which was produced prior to this whole story, anything which was cooked is avar ubishal. The question is that when you have strawberries that were put in fresh, what's that halacha? Then you don't have the application of the Rashba any longer. So then that could be a different shaila where you have to call the hashgacha that is on that particular product to get some reading from them. Yes?
So it's wondering, is this always a problem with strawberries,
or is it like a big year? No, so as I was saying before, that the season was a very unusual season, and the biggest riot to that is, as I said to you before, that online, not that we knew of.
There was no insects on it?
Oh, there were insects, but not, you see, over here, there's a very big difference. The insects that we knew that were on strawberries, the hashgachas always felt, it's a mid hamotzi. There are three categories in halacha in reference to insects. There's something called a miyat she'ena matzoi, a miyat hamatzoi, and muksik betuloy. Mi'ich einu matzi means throwing out the most accepted definition in halacha. Amir amatzi means one out of every 10. One out of every 10 units have insects. That's the Mishkanes Yaakov's guideline. If something is less than that, it's mi'ich einu matzi, which is there's no obligation of bedik. If something is more than that, means bedik al pi din, it's a din de rabbanon. If something has 50% of it, that's muksik b'teloyim. We always knew that strawberries are a mi'ich hamotzi, and bedik is required, or something tantamount to bedik is required. But this season, strawberries, no one could doubt that became a muksik b'teloyim. Every single thing of strawberries that you pick up is going to have insects. Amid Hamatsui. You have to check. You'd have to either check them or do something which is tantamount to checking, which what the chiyuv of Bedika, so let me explain to you. The chiyuv of Bedika that the Chachamim placed upon everybody is a chiyuv for you that prior to your eating, you have to do something which is going to remove the possibility of Teloyim in that particular item that you're eating. If you do something, for instance, the example that the Ramah gives in Simon Pei Dalet, if you had soup and you found insects in your soup, so it's all lost. The Ramah says, no, don't throw away the soup so quickly. Take a misanein, take a sift, or take a filtration tool, filter the soup. And the Ramah says, afilu matza gimel teloyim. Even if you found three, the Ramah says, take and filter the soup, the Ramah says. And then you can eat it, afilu b'loy b'dika. Why? So the Shach explains, the Chachmas Adam explains, all the Pirushim on the Shulchan Aruch explain the Ramah saying that the reason why you don't need any b'dika is because once you did something which vadai removed the teloyim, and that's why the Shach explains on the spot that it's talking that you use the filtration which is smaller than the insect, then you don't have to check anymore because you did something which removed the chiyuv or the reyesa. You removed something which was mechayiv you to be baidik the item. So anything, so the mefarshim want to learn, the poiskim want to say anything which is tantamount to that is also obviating your need to check. So washing it in a way, if you wash it in a way which is pretty foolproof, then you're not mechayiv in bedik anymore. Yeah, let me just take some questions and we're going to try to find the live. Yes.
Yeah, in the test where the fresh strawberries were tested out with the cleaning method, there was one that got away. Do you know why it got away? Like, is there something special about that one?
It could... Maybe it's mazel. I don't know why. It's a pretty... If you look at the statistics, when I was discussing the statistics with Raphael Cohen, and I also called up Rabbi Vaya, the Mechaber, the Sefer, and he was scheduled to go and visit. He couldn't visit Rabbi Yashiv because Rabbi Yashiv, Zal Gesundheit, was not feeling well, and they didn't allow anybody to ask him any shaylos. But he did travel to Bnei Brak in the hope that he was going to speak to Rav Nissen Karelitz and to Rav Shmuel Vosner, which he was not successful either. And this, he felt that the amount that was found after doing so much checking, because 300 is equivalent to about 26 pounds. So 26 pounds, another 6 pounds, it was 32 pounds that were checked with only two insects. They felt that it was very negligible. Now, why that one got away, it could be that it just was resilient. Resilient, it hid in a good place. It was just there. Sometimes you just can't explain it. Rib Shia. Cold, hot water always destroys. I see you don't do much kitchen work, Mr. Schwaber. So hot water destroys produce. Cold water always keeps produce fresh. No, I'm saying that. I understand, but hot water doesn't necessarily. It's dry heat that will sun. If you put, even the Aruch HaShulchan says, If you want to know how to test the Aruch HaShulchan says it's Siman Pei Dalet. If you want to know how to test the Teilayim, take something right to the sun and it will come out. It can't tolerate the heat of the sun. Yes. Let's just stick to one. You know what one caterer told me? Rabbi Eisen, and he was desperate. He says, you have to preserve the last living berry. Please find a solution to a strawberry. He says, my business will be gone. He says, because many Ashkenazis don't allow raspberries, don't allow strawberries, don't allow blackberries. They only allow strawberries. So this is an important thing to people enjoy it. And it's something which, if it's doable to fix, it's the chiyuv for the kashrus organizations to fix it, and not to just say forget about it. Let's just offer it. The problem with raspberries is much worse, because the strawberries are all a closed surface. It could tolerate, and also a strawberry is firm. It could tolerate washing. It could tolerate spraying. It could tolerate cascading. You try to take a raspberry where, number one, it has a crater. So those strips jump into the inside of the raspberry. And you try to wash a raspberry, you're going to have raspberry puree in your hand and not a raspberry. You can't, raspberries are so fragile, you look at a raspberry the wrong way, the raspberry is gone.
How about blueberries?
Blueberries are fine. As long as they're cultivated, grade A. Blueberries, if you grow in your own, let's say if you have a country in Catskills and you have in the backyard blueberries, those are full of worms. But cultivated blueberries that are processed and grown by farmers, professional farms, don't have insects. Don't generally have insects. What was that? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
It depends. They have tolerance levels from the government. In other words, if they don't see it swarming, if they don't see it, the one thing that bothers the growers and the farmers is when there's insect infestation that's detectable, that you see damage. When they see damage, that means that the product is inferior. That they'll be upset about. The damage only will take place under certain circumstances, but if it's insects that really are very docile and cooperative and they do their thing and they let the fruit stay intact, so the farmers don't care so much about that, unless it's like very obvious. But even the government itself, if you look into the government standards in agriculture, they have something called defect levels, and they allow a certain amount of insects per every single pound of vegetable. L'chatchila. Yes. Yes. No, they didn't fall into the water. They caught it on the filter.
So when they poured the water, it fell into the water, and then the water, when they poured it into the filter, it came out, you saw it.
Right.
How do you know that all those worms that came out weren't the weak worms? The real strong worms are still the strong worms.
That's a very good question. So the terrace is that what happened was that we saw a pattern. We can't say for sure, but there was a certain pattern. When we soaked it, what we did at first is we did an initial soak. And there were as many as 20 and 30 insects we found initial soak. Then what we did was that we soaked it in a soapy solution, and then they took the strawberries and immediately put it into another clear water. They checked that water. That water had much less. They did it 3-4 times. It was a very, very time-consuming process, because what we did is we kept on washing it. And after we washed it many times, what happened is that after we finished, in other words, the collective we is the people that were that had not made any statement yet to their constituents. So we finished our washing, what we felt was clean, and now this other fellow that was working together with the Williamsburg Dayanim, so he washed it another 2 times or 3 times. And he kept on washing it again and again. So by the time he checked his final item, it was already soaked in water 5 or 6 times. And then even afterwards, he soaked it again just to be sure, and he couldn't find it. So at that point in time, we just felt that even in the wash prior to when we found one, there was that was the one, and there was, it didn't show up again, it didn't show up after a second time after that, and the third time after that. So we just felt that that was enough of a raya that there's nothing else there, because we kept on agitating it the same way and nothing else came out besides that one.
Okay, isn't that my point? That the strong one was still in the strawberry.
Lav dafka, because what happened was that we just, if the strong one was in the strawberries, we saw a pattern of them keeping on coming out. After that one was found, we washed it another two or three times and nothing came out, nothing at all. Could it be? You're right, in Achinami, the only way that we couldn't even, I want to tell you, if you'd have to go ahead and be sure by visual checking, there's no way to visually check the strawberries.
Why did after the last barking, you have no worm coming out, why do you think the hair dryers were dead?
You know why? I didn't hear about the hair dryer till about a week ago. I would have done that. By that time, we'll be winter and you won't be a Shaila. But that's a good point.
You said before that, like there are two main steps of the soaking and the salt water, salt solution, and then the sweet water cascade. So why is Rabbelsky not requiring salt?
So Rabbelsky, if you are careful in his Lashon, he says that, he said that the rinsing is the main thing. He says that, and he's not sure exactly what's the functionality of the soap. In speaking to the person that was doing the testing for Rabbi Belsky, he also felt that the ikar is the rinsing. That's why I really was modest that. But he felt that the soap did have some type of a effect.
Well, it was like an afterthought in his letter.
I understand it.
Based on this, so every company, even without a hatchet, frozen strawberries, was asking before. So every company washes it.
Yeah, but it's lav dafka, they use it in the same degree of turbulence. The only way that you could be assured of the additional turbulence is this mashkichim there during the run. Because they don't want to do too much turbulence to the water, because what happens is the quality of the strawberry gets the shmetter. So they want to just do it standard. They want to wash the strawberry thoroughly. And they want to wash it in a way where the end result of that strawberry is going to be a healthy, good-looking strawberry that you want to use in a frozen dessert. You know, so I think that that's the difference. Why you couldn't just go ahead and buy frozen strawberries at Hashgacha, because there's nobody there monitoring. And also, during the strawberry productions, they're checking the strawberries. They're doing testing while stuff is coming off the line. It's been done by Hashgacha to me this now.
That's true.
Yes.
I
think that some of them, like Square and Bodek, were always Hashgacha to me this. But I think that the ones that are frozen strawberries, I think they're going to have Hashgacha to me this. I believe so.
Final point. Could it be that I realize that the thrift decimation and infestation more than previous years, but could it be like these, the Vedigas, when they took all of these pounds of kinds of strawberries? Could it be because it's late in the season? Had you done this a month or two ago? Like, let's say next year, I'm not sure. At the beginning of the season, when they're tiny, they might just stop it. The larva or the baby crisps. Would it then be Nicolaian? In other words, everyone's opened up the boxes. We're in the height of the season. So the bugs are larger and larger.
I don't know that. I don't know the answer to that question. I don't know when. I don't know. What I don't know. What your question is that from the point when they hatch, what do they look like? I don't know. I don't know if they look. I think that one that we saw on the clip looks pretty big. That was a pretty gesunte one that you were able to see. Yes. If you're using filtered water for everything else, so you should use filtered water for this. What would be the nachmina? I would think that if the rabbanim in this community have decided to use filtered water, that means they're using filtered water to wash vegetables also, so I would think that you use filtered water to wash this as well. Yes? Yes, you can call my office tomorrow, though. I'll send it to you.
What's the
copa
pod like the baby trip?
Oh, well. Yes.
The issue first came out, I remember reading on an email that one should cut the strawberry in half. Now, throughout,
I think that there's sort of like chiluke deis in that of what really yields something cleaner. If you could be sure that the strawberry is completely closed, then washing strawberries whole, I believe, has a mila to it, because you're able to handle them. They don't get mushy. They stay intact. A good firm strawberry will withhold this whole process. If you didn't get that cut to be completely closed and you opened it up when you cut it, then you should split it in half, because those strips, Mashkichim brought me strawberries that looked beautiful and they had a little weeny hole. He cut it a little too deep. He opened up the strawberry, he showed me strips inside the strawberry. They have a tremendous sense of survival.
Yeah, but wouldn't it be better to
not, if it's completely closed, they're not going in there.
So there would be no way for them.
Right, there would be no way. If they're completely closed, they're not going in there.
But if they go in, you said that there's like a little crater, and if they go into the crater, can't they go...
I don't think so. I think that the crater is solid. Unless they're a minor. I don't know. The guy who got a little... Yes. I mean, the Hasidisha basically wrote it off. No, nobody will say you can't eat. Everybody, even what Rabbi Melman was referring to, without using a very focused way. See, the problem with that, with the only using the wash, is that if you don't have the right amount of pressure in your faucet,
right,
and if you're not patient enough to rotate the berry in a way where it gets really hit by a stream, you won't be successful.
So what is the versus the non-pro?
I don't know. I can't. I know that I called the Adashgachis attempting to try before we take a stand. The last thing that, you know, in my opinion, that when you have something which is so relevant to everybody, the best thing could be a united stand. And we couldn't get that, because that means that they'd have to gather their dayanim again and reverse it. And right, they immediately, when they were proven, when they saw, when their mashgiach came and in this achdus office, they washed it and washed it again, and they saw the insect. Immediately they made a hachlata on the spot to send out a kol kairei that strawberries can't be used. I mean, it's a certain, you know, I just, in my personal opinion was that I felt that we needed to do a little bit more research, maybe with something which was an unusual find. I mean, to go ahead, this is more...
Did they change in temper their stuff?
Not on frozen they did, not on fresh.
Yeah.
You can maybe set it up. And maybe set. No, you don't take out the light box. Maybe take it on the light box. Put on the light. Take the strawberries on the light box. And I'm gonna, and put it on there. And I'm gonna shoot it with the blow here. Yeah, blow. Yeah.
When you agitate the berry, you talk about agitating them
in a pint altogether. You take a deep bowl. You take the whole pint and dump it in, and just smush it around well. And then the main thing is to take the berry and rinse it under a heavy stream of water. That is what's going to dislodge
it. And you wash it with soap?
That, I believe, will be helpful to dislodge and loosen whatever's on the surface.
Well, I thought OU.
No, Ajax. No.
OU joy dishwash.
Right, either that or vegetable wash, whatever you prefer using.
1 teaspoon to 1/2 gallon of water.
Yeah, that's what we sell. Rabbi Gissinger wrote 1 tablespoon to 1/4. And he didn't back off. He started with what we came out really sort of complemented a whole thing. Because
doesn't mention it about agitating the
community broke up. I don't know. I'm complaining the same thing.
We travel.
White things are tough. What is that for?
Take a bunch of them. Avrami, take a bunch of strawberries. Put it on the light bar.
I'm not touching the strawberries.
No, why not? Adarab, I came here to tell you how to eat the strawberries.
What about the
lacha?
You
told me
you said was
a couple
times.
Yeah,
forget the lacha. What's the eating herb?
Not to eat anything.
Now I know I might be eating
herb. Avrami, take two more and line it up.
So what about, is anybody talking about using natural organic farms, they use ladybugs to eat fish. Washing, and then peel the strawberry. The peel.
Right.
Lay the peel out flat, thin, very thin, and through the light box. And through the light box, it'll go through the thin, and you'll see what's there.
You know, the problem with the pragmatic problem of that is that you have to do
enough to really be definitive. You have to
no, I mean, that'll prove that you're right.
Right.
You got to prove that your system
yeah,
works.
No, no, but you have to do it definitively. My president and my stuff would know that I paid the Mashiach $500 to have my net. If I wanted to see what the China is, I have to pay that $35, $30 an hour.
I know people in the community who volunteer to put an hour into it.
I wouldn't even let me take a number.
I would get an hour.
I was not Myra.
Okay.
I didn't.
Okay.
You're
my name is Posey.
So you're from Washington Heights?
No, yeah, I'm an athlete.
No. Okay, so let me tell you, there's a guy named Yankee Lai who is the one that has done the most research on this. His name is Jacob Lai. He'll answer, or he's a brilliant. He wrote, you know, he wrote, remember that tape on Coolin? On Coolin? Jacob Lai. Jacob Lai. L-A-C-H.
L-A-C-H.
Yeah. He will answer that one. Yeah. And he wrote, he's I have all three, but this is, I just wrote them on the Snigaya.
That's one. He wrote them.
I learned from them.